We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord and good afternoon again. Once again, we are glad to be in the studio today and bring time for Jesus. It's time that people wake up to reality and to know that the time of the end is nearer upon us than it ever has been. Regardless of what goes on in this world, there's nothing going to change God's word and his destination for the world to come to the place of wherein will be no more. But God will set up his kingdom as he has said that he would go and prepare a place for us. And my friend, today I believe that that coming of the Lord in the clouds of glory is nearly a time that is upon us, and we need to be prepared for his return. Now, a lot of people says it'll be the second return to him on earth, but now Jesus comes in the clouds to receive his bride, the church, that has made itself ready. And just any old thing and any old way that it's called a church is not going to work. I believe that God's got a church in the church, and he called those to come out from amongst that old harlot church and begin to be godly people, believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him as their Savior. A lot of things that went back in during Paul's and them time that wasn't real kosher. Paul tried to tell them that we were only saved by grace through Jesus Christ, but a lot of them wanted to divert back to the law, and a lot of false teachings have come up. And Jesus told us and warned us about these things, but yet many people today have turned a deaf ear to the truth and have made some of the preachers that are trying to tell you the truth, as Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? But many times people are down someone that tells them the truth, but they'll listen to a lie and clap their hands and rejoice over it because it's something that the flesh wants to hear and they'll receive it. So, my friend, today we endeavor to preach the gospel as it is and not to try to sugarcoat it and tell you little fables and things of that nature to get you to do anything for us, like helping us with the broadcast. It would be appreciated. But nevertheless, I'm not going to tell you what is not the truth in order to get you to help me pay for this broadcast. God didn't send me here for that, so I'm not going to start that. So I believe that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his time and everything, he said that these other things will be added unto us. And he hasn't let me go hungry yet, and I've got shoes and clothes and these things as a necessary. He's always supplied. So I'm not worried about those things, but I'm worried about the people as being deceived by false teachings and going on and said, any old way will do. It ain't going to work, my friend. It's only you that believing in Jesus Christ, the one that fulfilled the law. The law couldn't save you, but Jesus came into this world to die for sinners such as you and I. Yet while we were in our sins, Christ died for us. But I want you to understand that Jesus is the only way we're going to make it. Through the sacrifice that he made on Calvary, through his blood and faith in him and his works at Calvary, that redeemed you from a lost and dying world into the righteousness of God only through faith in Christ Jesus. The law couldn't save us. The law was fulfilled, and Jesus came and brought grace unto us. And Paul tried to teach the people back then that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Through the finished works of Calvary, he died, was buried, and resurrected, and he is alive forevermore. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and there's no other man name given among this man on this world or the face of this earth that whereby that can be called Holy Father or any other thing that can give you righteousness. It's only come through faith in Jesus Christ, and him only can you find redemption for yours sins as well as I did for mine. So I just pray that God will touch your heart, that your ears to hear and a heart to receive, that as we endeavor to bring forth your the truth of God's word into the hearing that you hear. Heavenly Father, we praise you today, and we thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you for that you have done and blessed us with. We thank you for the healing of many that we have asked you to touch and bring forth and deliver. And my son that had the heart attack, I thank you for his well-being, and I pray, God, that you would just bless those that prayed with us concerning this, and help us, oh God, to receive you and recognize the fact that you are the Almighty. You died for our sins, but before you died, you suffered the stripes for our healing. So we look to thee, Lord, as being the author and the finisher of our faith, and we give you the praise and the glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. So touch the ears of the hearer and the heart to believe, and we'll praise you in all things. We give you the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And my wife's got something over here I believe that would be interesting for you to hear that came over because of some of the results from that shooting up here in Connecticut here not long ago. Wherever it was
Colorado.
At. But anyway, she's got it. Here's my wife, Sarah.
Well, I just praise the Lord again that I can share things with you. This is an email that I received from someone, and the House Judiciary Committee Subcommittee invited Daryl Scott. His daughter was killed at the Columbine High School, and they invited him to come and speak to a special session of Congress. But they didn't really know what he was going to say, nor was it very well received. But it needs to be heard today to every parent, every teacher, every politician, every socialist, every psychologist, and every so-called expert. These words were spoken by Daryl Scott, are powerful, penetrating, and deeply personal. There's no doubt that God sent this man as a voice crying in the wilderness. And the following is a portion of the transcript. Since the dawn of creation, there's been both good and evil in the hearts of men and women. We all contain the seeds of kindness or the seeds of violence. The death of my wonderful daughter, Rachel Joy Scott, and the deaths of their heroic teacher and the other 11 children who died must not be in vain. Their blood cries out for answers. The first recorded act of violence was when Cain slew his brother Abel out in the field. The villain was not the club he used. The true killer was Cain, and the reason for the murder could only be found in Cain's heart. In the days that followed the Columbine tragedy, I was amazed at how quickly fingers began to be pointed at the groups such as the NRA. I am not a member of the NRA. I am not a hunter. I do not even own a gun. I am not here to represent or defend the NRA because I don't believe that they are responsible for my daughter's death. Therefore, I do not believe that they need to be defended. If I believed they had anything to do with Rachel's murder, I would be their strongest opponent. I am here today to declare that Columbine was not just a tragedy, it was a spiritual event that should be focused, forcing us to look at where the real blame lies. Much of the blame lies here in this room. And that's where he was in Congress. Much of the blame lies behind the pointing fingers of the accusers themselves. I wrote a poem just four nights ago that expresses my feelings best. The laws ignore my deepest needs. Your words are empty air. You've stripped away my heritage. You've outlawed simple prayer. Now, gunshots fill our classrooms, and precious children die. You seek for answers everywhere and ask the question, why? Through legislative creed, and yet you fail to understand that God is really what we need. Men and women are three-part beings. We consist of body, mind, and spirit. When we refuse to acknowledge a third part of our makeup, We create a void that allows evil, prejudice, and hatred to rush in and wreak havoc. Spiritual presences were present within our educational systems for most of our nation's history. Many of our major colleges began as theological seminaries. This is a historical fact. What has happened to us as a nation? We have refused to honor God, and in so doing, we open the doors to hatred and violence.
Amen.
When something as terrible as Columbine's tragedy occurs, politicians immediately look for a scapegoat, such as the NRA. They immediately seek to pass more restrictive laws that contribute to erode away our personal and private liberties. We do not need more restrictive laws. Eric and Dylan would not have been stopped by metal detectors. No amount of gun laws can stop someone who spends months planning this type of massacre. The real villain lies within our own hearts. As my son Craig lay under that table in the school library, saw his two friends murdered before his very eyes, he did not hesitate to pray in school. I defy any law or politician to deny him that right. I challenge every young person in America and around the world to realize that on April the 20th, 1999, at Columbine High School, prayer was brought back to our schools. Do not let the many prayers offered by those students be in vain. Dare to move into the new millennium with a sacred disregard for legislation that violates your God-given right to communicate with Him. To those of you who would point your finger at the NRA, I give you a sincere challenge. Dare to examine your own heart before casting the first stone. My daughter's death will not be in vain. The young people of this country will not allow that to happen. And that is signed and written by Daryl Scott. Do what the medium did not. Let the nation hear this man's speech. Please send this out to everyone you can. And if you would like a copy of it, you just write to us, email us. And if you want to help us on the broadcast, take time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa 33682. And I try to share what I can. This needs to go out. It's not the gun that kills people. It's the man behind it and the way that his heart is. The violence and everything is not according to God. We need to get back to God, get America down on their knees and pray for a change in our nation, politics, schools, and everything else. Put God back where we need Him.
All the builder's tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Faith, busy housewife, will cease their labors. In the courtroom, no more debate. 'Cause work on earth has been suspended. 'Cause the King comes through the gate. Happy faces line the hallways. Those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that He has amended. And those from prison has been set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow. Those who were crippled, broken and ruined, clad in garments white as snow. The King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. Thank you.
That's right.
I can see the marching throng.
I can see the marching throng.
And the flurry of God's trumpets. Now unfolding, heaven's grandstands are in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing.
Yes, praise the Lord. Jesus is coming soon, the King of Kings. There'll be no more of the things that's happening today upon that day, because the world will be so upset, them that are in the world, seeing what's taking place, and many people says, oh, well, it'll be done in the midnight hour, and nobody will know it. It'll be so secret. It's going to be secret to them that's not looking for him, but it's going to be a glorious time as the lightning shines from the east even unto the west upon that day and that hour that he comes, whether it be in the middle of the day or in the middle of night or whenever. But people are going to know that he has arrived, and the church, his born-again people, will go to meet him in the clouds. That's the return to take the church out. The second time he comes and puts his foot on Mount Olive will cleave away and make a way for the kings of the north and the south. But my friend, when Jesus comes to claim his own in the clouds of glory, there's going to be a time that it's going to be nothing like that has ever been before. If you go back into the history of the scriptures about when it all began, and we know that, as my wife was reading there, that Cain got so upset because Abel got the blessing, because Abel brought something other that had life in it and blood. So without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin, and God recognized that and gave Abel a blessing. Cain got jealous, and the jealous of this world and politics and all other church doctrines and whatever else is somebody has always got jealous and tried to kill somebody else or downgrade them and whatever. And if you talk them down and tell so many tall tales about them and everything, it's almost just like killing them. The tongue is an unruly member of the family, and many people have been disordered and killed because of the tongue lashing they put on people, and a lot of times they don't even know what they're talking about. My friend, I'm not here to down anyone, anybody's religion or whatever, just plain truth. And as Paul tried to tell the Galatians back in that time, when he asked him, he said, who have bewitched you that you should turn again into the world or into the bigotry of this world, looking for the law for salvation? Salvation only come through Jesus Christ, through faith, my friend, in the grace of the living God. You can't get it from the law. If the law had been able to have saved you, then it would have been no use for Jesus to come and die for our sins. It would have been absolutely, the law would have been all that we have would have had need of. But the law couldn't save us, so Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And it was fulfilled there on Calvary when he stretched out his arms and allowed him to nail him to a cross and died for you and I. And there's no other name absolutely no other name given among man whereby that we can be saved. Mary can't help you. Muhammad can't help you. Buddha can't do nothing for you. None of these other people's names. My name is no good to you. I might could write you a little check for $2 or $3 and you get that cashed at the bank, but it couldn't save your soul. It might give you a meal or something or other, but that'd be about all it'd be worth. But my friend, today, if we look to Jesus Christ, our Savior, and rely upon Him and His sacrifice that He made there on Calvary's cross and died for our sins and shed His blood, then we can have life and have it more abundantly. Don't mean that you're going to have all the wealth in the world and these people to go around teaching and people to give to them, and they're bankrupting themselves in order to give them, looking for a Santa Claus in the sky or for somebody to write them a check out that they give $10 or $25,000 or $30,000 in the place of 10. It just don't happen, my friend. It's all these false preachers that are coming along and teachers of robbing God's people of the truth and telling them things that are fabled. God said, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the other things will be added unto you. You'll have a place to live and you'll have food to eat. But I believe the scripture says, if you therefore have water and bread, be you there content. Some people wants it all, and they want to get it the cheapest and the way they can and cost them nothing or very little. But my friend, today it cost God His very Son. It cost Him His life on Calvary's cross to die for yours and my sins. And the peace that we have in this nation primarily right now has cost the mothers and dads and sons and daughters that died and was willing to go over somewhere else in another country to keep them out from here, and they died. So salvation is not free, but it's a gift from God, and only through Him can we obtain it. It's through Jesus Christ and His crucifixion there on Calvary, through faith in Him. The only way that we maintained our peace that we have in this world today, such as it is in this United States, is because our boys and girls was willing to sacrifice their lives to keep it off of the shores of our country. Praise God, and I just thank it for each and every one of them for it. So we ought to kind of lean towards helping them some because they've done so much for us. My friend, today we need to realize that there's only one alternative that we have in this life, that we can surrender our life unto the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and receive Him as our personal Savior. It's the only thing that's going to help us in the hereafter. Hereafter means after death has come. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you've surrendered your life to the Lord and He's forgave you of those sins and they've been cast behind you, and the sea of forgetfulness, as He said, no longer be remembered against you, then that's one thing. But my friend, you keep digging it up and letting the devil dig up your past and bring it up and slap you in the face with it and telling others of how much you suffered, you ain't suffered nothing to comparison to what our Lord suffered. You haven't done anything comparison to what He has done. He brought salvation. He didn't have to, but He did. He willingly came into this world knowingly what was to therefore the future of it. And He came and He said, when He was praying that there in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, if it be Thy will that this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. That flesh of when He cried, was that God was dwelling in, cried out, but the Spirit of the living God was willing to go to Calvary. He went to the cross for you and I. My friend, there's no other church we're in, the organization's going to save you. I don't care if it's the big man in the chair wears the big hat sitting between two golden cherubims and a white throne claiming himself that he's God on earth. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him, because there's only one God. The Hebrew nation recognized that years ago, but then they crucified him. My friend, today there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism that we're baptized into the body of Christ. That is through Jesus Christ and Him baptized in His name. We thank God today to know that there is a truth in God's Word. Revelations tells us about an old church that sits on it, a woman, a whore, he called her. It sits on seven hills, and she decks herself with gold and silver, scarlet and purple. And there's only one place that I know of in history teaches that the place over there in Italy, Rome. It's a little country that's been declared to be a state of its own. I heard years ago when I was just a boy that there'd be a rise of little nation out of all the other nations that would rule the world. And that church sits upon the nations, waters, and tongues. There's only one that I know of, and that's the Roman Church. It sets over all the nations. Did you know during World War II that they could go where ordinary people couldn't? Because Hitler would allow it. Because Hitler had a mindset to destroy the Jewish nation. So did they. And the Romans killed over 50,000 of them just to get their way in changing laws and times. They changed the 21st day of December. They made it Christ's birthday. The Bible doesn't even give a time when he was born, let alone a date. But we know by the seasons that it was not in December the 25th. We know that over there right now they're having a real snap of cold weather over there. And you take a baby that's just born and wrapped him in something a little more than cheesecloth and lay him in a feed trough in a manger. I'm telling you, it would be rather ridiculous. But my friend, they've done all these things. It's time we realize and wake up to the reality of the truth of God's Word and be not carried about every wind of doctrine and fall into the trap that the devil has set and waiting upon you to believe what he had to say and to believe that there is a God, a man that you can go to and pray and he can forgive your sins and all these things. If you look into the scriptures in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll find out what the angel told John there when he told him. He said he described it there. My friend, today we need to read what the Word of God says instead of listening to some false teacher somewhere or another. This Word is not for a private interpretation. You can read for yourself and discern it. You don't need some other to teach you. The Bible says that you didn't need another man to teach you, but it'd be taught to you by the Spirit of God. Paul didn't go into the synagogues and be taught of this plan of salvation by them or the leaders of that day in the synagogue. He didn't even go to the apostles. He met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus with had papers in his hand to put them that believed and called upon the name of the Lord, put them in jail or even have them stoned and everything, claiming that they was bringing forth a false religion because of the Roman inheritance that he had without knowingly what was going on. He refused. But when he met up with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he came to realize. Paul got this gospel by revelation, not from teaching from them in the synagogues or from any. And after a certain time, he went up to Jerusalem to see if Peter and John and the rest of them was teaching the same thing. And he found that they were teaching the same Jesus, bringing forth the same gospel, and he preached it there. But yet, when he began to tell them about the significance of the cross of Calvary and the man called Jesus, they started taking him seriously, and then they take him unseriously. They begin to persecute him. My friend, Paul was a Roman citizen, but he was also a Jew. But he came to the place of the law, and he come to understand that the law couldn't save him after he met up with the Lord Jesus Christ. He became to know that grace only saves us through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood on Calvary's cross. No denomination or no place like that is going to take the place of that blood of Jesus. No other name going to take his name and be recognized when we stand before God. He's going to look on the blood as he did when he sent the death angel down through Pharaoh's house in Egypt. And he'd taken there and he told him to take a lamb there without a spot of blemish, to take the blood and put it on the lintel and the doorpost and stay behind the door. And when he said, when the death angel comes and he sees the blood, he will pass over you. My friend, if you hadn't got the blood of Jesus Christ, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, applied to your sins and in your heart, you're doomed without that. You won't, the death angel won't pass over you. Or you say, well, you think you're going to not die? Yes, I died one time. I'm not going to die this old body here unless it remains to be when the Lord comes. But nevertheless, this old tent that I live in now is going to be resolved. It'll either go to the dust of the earth and rise in his likeness, or either it'll be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye from mortal to immortality. My friend, today, this old body that we housed in is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The blood, flesh and blood is not going to enter therein. But that which is made by God, that celestial body that we're going to come and receive of that, that when that time comes, is going to be the only one. My friend, there's no denomination this side of Hades that can bring you salvation if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No amount, no other name. And a lot of times people have come along and they call upon Mary. Mary was an instrument that God used just like he does you and I, that if you've been born again, she happened to be in the bloodlines of David, wherein that kings come from, and so was the others there. But I want you to know that when Mary was approached by the angel and told her that she would conceive and bring forth a child, she said, how can this be that I've never had a man before, never known of a man? He said, that which will overshadow the Holy Ghost, the power of God, in other words, will overshadow you, and you shall conceive, and that shall be a holy. My friend, today, when he told her, he says, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's very obvious that there's no other man, no other denomination. You can belong to the denomination and still go to heaven, but you depend upon the denomination and you're going to come short. Only Christ Jesus, the finished works of Calvary, through his precious blood, that we become heirs to the kingdom of God. Abraham was called out from God to go out into a place that he would show him, and he would make him the father of many nations. But he said, out of your seed shall all nations be blessed. And there's some nations in this world today doesn't even recognize that there is a God. They don't even consider him at all. But I want you to know that they look into a name that is not the real name. They look to a pagan type of worship and everything. There's only one true living God, and his name is Jesus. He was called Jehovah in the Old Testament, but he's Jesus in the New, my friend, and there's no other name given. You can call every name from here to yon, but if you don't get a hold of the right one, you're not going to make it. I won't make it. Nobody will, except through Jesus Christ and him crucified, through that shed blood that he shed for us there on Calvary. But this old harlot church that John, that the angel described for John, said she set upon many waters and nations and tongues, and the Catholic religion has went beyond billions that joins it and everything. But he also said he called her the mystery of Babylon, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. My friend, I didn't write the book. That's what it says. And John, and the Bible said for me to preach the gospel. Paul got in trouble because he told him the truth, and I expect maybe someday I might myself. But in the meantime, I want to tell the truth of God's gospel. That old church was that woman that represents, when the Bible speaks about a woman and a church, he speaks about it's a church. And she set upon many waters, in whom the kings and of the earth have committed fornication and habitation of the earth, and have made drunk with the wine of her fornications. That's in Revelation chapter 17. You can read it for yourself. And said in the third verse, he said, so he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blaspheming, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head it was the name of blaspheming, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth. I want you to think about it, my friends, and you look into the scriptures and you go through all of your church world and you find out who is the ones that's decked like this, who scatter, who sets upon all these here tongues and religions and everything, and then they are arrayed with their scarlet and purple. None other but that old harlot church called Mystery of Babylon. And that come out of the Roman Catholic Church. My friend, today, they've deceived a lot of people. They've had a lot of problems, and they're going to have more problems because God has put it in the mind of the beast to kill her, to burn them with fire. So he's telling them, he said, come out of her, my people, and be you therefore separated, and not where that you won't receive the punishment that's going to come upon her of her sins and her iniquities. You need to consider. Read for yourself. I know they tell me that the Catholics say you don't need to read the Bible. The Pope will interpret it, or somebody will. But my friend, you need to read for yourself. You need to read what God has to say about the sins of the world, whether it be there or wherever. I want you to know that there's only one truth that you can come to out of God's word, and that's by understanding what it said. And if you need understanding, pray and ask him to give it to you, and he'll give it to you. If you want wisdom and knowledge, the same spirit that entered into the people at the day of Pentecost, that Holy Ghost that the Bible calls it and that I call it, will bring you forth there and teach you of all things. Scripture plainly tells you that he will guide you and lead you into all truths. And I thank God today to know that by the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost has brought me to some knowledge about these things. I haven't got no college degree. I haven't even been to a Bible school. But I got some theology down before the God of creation, with my face in the floor and my bowed head and knees, and God gave it to me through a revelation, not because of somebody teach me. If you'll notice that Jesus went out onto the shores of Galilee around about and got them less people, them people in the synagogues looked down their nose at, but he went out and gathered fishermen. He even got a tax collector, and one of them, he said, have not I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil? That old man of perdition's going to come out of the religious place, my friend. He ain't going to come from Islam or someplace like that. He's going to come out of the church-believing people, and that's where it's all coming from. That old antichrist spirit, it's not that they are against Christ altogether, but they want to make you think they take his place here on earth. My friend, I want you to understand that God's word is going to be fulfilled to every dot of the I and the cross of the T, and it's none going to fall short, but it's going to come. And if you don't accept it before it's too late, because after it's too late, and there's no need. As many times as I've told you, there when the flood came, Noah preached to the people 120 years that there was going to come a flood and going to destroy the earth. They didn't believe him. They mocked him, and probably went down to there, passed by him, building on the ark, him and his boys and everything, and said, Noah, where are you going to float that big old thing at? There ain't no creek or river big enough to hold it. But there was a time when it was finished. finishing, God told Noah to go in and take his family. Everything else was ready, but the door of the ark was open for 7 days of grace was given unto the people of that day. Honey, we're living in the grace of God right now today, and the door of salvation is still open. You can come in and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive salvation for your soul. But once the door is closed, when God reached down and shut the door in the ark and the rain began to fall, that was too late for them that was left on the outside. They perished in the flood. When the door of salvation is closed, Jesus comes and claims his bride. The door of salvation will be closed. My friend, there's going to be some weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, but it's going to be too late. If you don't go up, there's only one way else to go. It's either up or down, and the down elevator will carry you right straight into hell. And the only way you're going to make it into God's kingdom is through Jesus Christ. Faith in that precious blood of Jesus, the finished works of Calvary, because the law couldn't do it and you can't do it. I can't do it. No amount of money's going to buy your way into the kingdom of God. And I've heard him say, oh, I'm going to go into him whether I want to or not. That's a lie the devil has told you to and made you believe and you declare it. Like it is with a lot of the other stuff and these fornications and all these here things that's going on in the world today. This is the way God made me and I'm going to be okay. That's a lie. God created man in his own image, and he made the woman from the man's rib, and the woman was the first one, according to the scripture, found in transgression, but Adam failed on one thing, and he put the whole world in sin. And one, the first Adam, the second Adam came, it was made a quickening spirit, and he died to bring the world back and reconciling it back unto God. I want you to know that there's only one way you're going to make it, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the door. And when he comes and claims his bride, and he takes us to be with him, and therefore, there's no opportunity going to be given after that, my friend. It's going to be, you either make it now, get into the kingdom of God through the new birth, through accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, being baptized in his name according to the works of the book of Acts. As the Apostle Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I don't care whether you're Greek, Muslim, or Jew, or whatever, you still got to come into the door, and that door is Jesus Christ. It don't make no difference about your nationality. If you're willing to come to him, he said he would nowise cast you out. But you're going to have to come and recognize the fact that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There's no other. He's the only one that has the salvation to give. He give it to you freely. He died for you freely. There's no other, nothing else. There's no other sacrifice that can be made that will get you into the kingdom of God. And you can sacrifice all your money to these people that comes in and through the TV and the radio stations and hollering for your money and claiming this and claiming that, praying for you and saying that God performed many miracles because of their prayer and everything, but they got no evidence to prove it. If you mind to believe it, then you're liable to fall into trap along with the rest of a lot of unbelievers and therefore fall into unrighteousness. Because of your lack of faith in God. There's only one healer, my friend, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. If God chooses to heal you from whatever your problem is, you can pray and ask God. And then you call for the elders of the church, and they pray over you. And the prayer of faith shall raise you up. And you don't have to give $100 here to expecting to get $1,000 back tomorrow. It don't work like that. My friend, be not deceived by this every wind of doctrine. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, for he's the only one that can bring salvation. He died for your salvation. He died for you on Calvary. And he is the only one that can give you salvation and bring a healing to your soul, mind, and body. That's where the problem is. You need the soul healed. You need your heart healed. You need your sins forgiven. And the rest of it will come. Even though if you were to go into the grave by that nasty thing we call cancer or heart attack and whatever it may be that may take your life out of this world. And if you fall, if you're in the hands of the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've got faith in Him, you may go into the dust of the earth with whatever that might be, my friend. But there's one thing I believe for certain. When He comes and the dead in Christ shall rise, that old whatever, death, cancer or whatever it was, is going to stay in the dust of the earth. And you're going to change from mortal to immortal, from corruption to incorruption. And go up, and them that remain to be alive, no matter if he's blind, halted, or one-legged, or whatever, if he is born again in the love of Jesus Christ and the blood has been applied to his heart, and he comes forth, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and them that remain to be alive shall be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together with him in there. There we shall forever be with the Lord. My friends, it's time we begin to realize that there's a lot of doctrines that went out, but there's only one true gospel, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The apostle doctrine, that's what they were taught. But many people have been led astray, been told this and told that. They said Peter lied on the day of Pentecost. He didn't have no right to change what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19. Jesus merely said in that Matthew 28:19, he said, "Go ye into all the world, teaching them that whatsoever that I've taught you, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." My friend, there was specifically mentioned a name. Father is not a name, Son is not a name, and the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the living God, but it's not a proper name. My friend, I've got a father, but his name was not Father. I'm a son of my Father, but my name is not Son. But I want you to know I got three sons, but their names are not sons. I call them that once in a while, but most of the time I call them my buddy. Oh, I want you to know, my friend, that there's a time to come to reality, to grip with God's truth and God's word, and realize that the name of Jesus is our only name that we have. All these others and these people that goes around and says that they can forgive your sins. And you say, what about that? That Peter, Jesus told him that whatsoever he bound on heaven, he bound on earth. Whatever he loosed on the earth will be loosed in heaven. My friend, if you come to God sincerely and you're at the preacher's place where the preacher is preaching you the truth, and you come to that altar of repentance, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that preacher there has preached you the unadulterous word of God, and the Spirit of God has quickened your heart to repent, and you repent calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has loosed you, and he's bound it. He's bound your sins and cast them out, but he's loosed you by the Spirit of the living God, and you have salvation with a broken heart and a contrite spirit calling upon the name of the Lord. Peter was commissioned to preach the gospel. So is it any man called of God to preach the gospel? Jesus didn't go to the synagogue to get his apostles. And I haven't been to no synagogue school or nothing. But like I said to start with, I've been down on my knees, and that's where I got my education. Yeah, I've been through the mill, but it's not for me to tell you what I've been through. It's what Jesus went through for you and I both. It's what he done on Calvary. It's the suffering that he suffered, the whipping that he took, the crown of thorns on his head, the nails in his feet and his hands, what he done for you and I, not what I have been through or what you have been through. Scripture said that he was mired as though unrecognizable, in other words. the flesh from his back where they whipped him with the cat of nine tails, which had glass and bits of bone laced into it, till the flesh was tore from his back until it hung down over his buttocks. And they taken him, and he bore his own cross. And my friend, you got to bear your cross as I bear mine. And many things, but God has seen me through. And he will bring you through if you'll trust him. He'll see you through, but you got to trust him. You got to put your faith in him, not in the man. It's good to know that somebody cares enough for you to pray with you and pray you through and tell you the truth. That's good and well. But Jesus is the one that died for you. He's our only hope of salvation. So, my friend, there's no man here on this earth that's worthy to be called Father, a Holy Father, or to bow down to and kiss his ring and all these here kind of stuff. That's demonic. That's putting another man in the place of God, and God's not going to accept that kind of thing. He'll give his glory to no man, but he'll require all men to repent, calling upon the name of the Lord and receiving of them the sacrifice that was made on Calvary's cross through the blood of Jesus Christ on your sins. Receiving him as your personal Savior is the only thing that's going to get you into the kingdom of God. That's the absolutely truth. Now, if I become your enemy because I told you the truth, God help you, because I've done all I can for you. God's going to have to make the decision about what happens. My friend, I put my faith and my trust in him, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of my faith. And whatsoever may come, whatsoever may go, God be praised and lifted up and exalted above all things and all names. He is the only one that I'm going to have to answer to. You can kill the old body, but you can't kill nothing with the soul. But be aware of him and fear him that can kill the body and soul and cast it into hell. Him's the one I fear. Death, he looked back on and he said, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" He came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he's alive forevermore. And he said, "Because I live, you can live." If you want to help us with the broadcast, the address will be given unto you, and we'd appreciate it. But in the meantime, God bless you and keep you is our prayer, and touch you in the mind of your heart and heal you for soul, mind, and body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like